encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael, Imara Moore, Alex Connor, and Kale Roberts. The producers are Mackenzie Beard and Leslie McLam. And our engineer for tonight is Mike Taklis. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Jenny Okuyama.
And I'm Leslie McLam. Coming up later this evening on KBOO, at 6, it's a special public affairs programming. And at 7, it'll be Hard Knock Radio. At 8, it's Ditch Digger, an electric slum of garage, R&B, doo-wop, soul, and punk with Marcel. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, just go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
Good evening, everybody. You're listening to News from the Boo, the weekly news segment with news from in and around the KBOO community. I'm your host, Michael Crenshaw. And as you know, I like to invite people from the cultural community, from the music community. And I like to report on arts and culture and give people that are professional artists and cultural workers an opportunity to share information about themselves. So tonight, I have a very special guest. Jenna Crenshaw, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me.
So, Jenna, I wanted to have you on News from the Boo because you have been doing music for some decades.
True.
Singer-songwriter.
Yes.
Whenever people see you perform, often people are moved to tears because your music is powerful.
Thank you.
Well, for our listeners, what can you tell us about how long you've been doing what you do and the why and how of Jenna Crenshaw music?
I've been a singer-songwriter for a number of years, but before that I was in a theater troupe. So I wrote music just specifically for that project, and then after that I started writing music kind of on my own terms and for myself, just about whatever I wanted to write about. So I have a new album coming out that has songs. It's a bit of a greatest hits album because I don't feel like I've really introduced myself musically to Portland too much. Mm-hmm. I don't play out very much, and I've been a little bit behind the scenes because most of the work that I've done in the past maybe 10 years that I've been here has been a lot of composition for theater and other projects. So I'm glad to get back to the singer-songwriter stuff and be playing my own music and trying to get myself out there just a little bit more.
So as a professional artist that's a singer-songwriter, you're a trained musician?
Yes.
Okay.
I classically trained piano since I was 8. Uh-huh. And I also started playing classical saxophone when I was in the 5th grade. Okay. And then I studied voice in college.
Right. So when you started working for writing, you were on Broadway, you were working in New York?
I was working in New York with a theater troupe that was kind of an avant-garde musical theater kind of project. Mm-hmm. So that was a pretty specific way of writing. Like, I would kind of just come up with, there was a lot of nonsense to it, and there was room for kind of whatever I wanted to do. So some of the songs had lyrics, and some of the songs mixed different languages, and some of the songs were made up words, and I would, that style of writing that I did there was kind of a little formula. Like, I would make just a little kind of a language formula or mm-hmm. some little formula that I would use for the song, and that's how I would do that. But now I kind of just look for stories. So I'll use sometimes like tiny bits of stories from my own life, but then make up the rest, or if I get inspired by something that I hear, I don't know. I kind of just always go from that.
So you compose and arrange music as an instrumentalist. but you also write lyrics.
Yes.
So there, I guess that is the definition of the singer-songwriter. In the lyrical aspect of your writing, what do you find inspires you the most?
I read a lot of fiction. That super inspires me. And then I don't really know where... I can't really ever pinpoint anything. Like, sometimes mm-hmm. it'll just be part of a conversation, or... The theater stuff is really easy for me to write because I feel like it comes with its own inspiration. Like, the play mm-hmm. is already done, right? So if I'm writing stuff based on that play, it almost feels like it's done when I read it. Like, I can just kind of hear what I want it to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of look for things that just give me that response, whether it's mm-hmm. a book or something I heard somebody say, or I don't know, you know, like if you're listening just out in the world, sometimes people sound like they're singing when they're talking, or
right.
the, just little moments like that that Excuse I can me. Go from,
yeah.
or just concepts that I think of, or just like a vague storyline that mm-hmm. I think I want to write a song about. And, you know, right now I'm writing a song for a friend of mine who commissioned me to write a song for her cousin's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave me the storyline, and I'm writing from that, which is sometimes easier and sometimes harder, depending on what part of it moves you, you know?
So. Yeah. So the work is inspired by many different things, and I'm curious about your process and your practice. If you're a singer-songwriter that gets paid to do what you do, and that's part of your career, how often do you make yourself? Like, do you have a consistent practice as far as how many hours a week or how many hours a day you set aside for writing?
I would like to be setting aside maybe an hour in the morning or something like that to mm-hmm. just write. What I used to do and what I still pull from, honestly, are I would just do a journal prompt in the morning, or I would just continue writing something that I was writing as sort of a stream of consciousness kind of mm-hmm. Brain kind of just like dump, right?
Right.
They call it. And so when I'm really working on my practice at doing that, I'll just write in the morning and then I'll kind of edit that later in the day and then start from there the next day is mm-hmm. kind of what I like to do. So eventually I'll end up with something that gives a more concrete idea that I can work from.
Mm-hmm.
But also, mm-hmm. but I tend to go through my journals, and I don't have this kind of practice now. I'd like to really get back to it. But because I did it for long enough, I still have lots of snippets of journals that when I get stuck on something, I can go back and just kind of flip through things that are highlighted or tiny little scraps of paper that are in one folder.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's helpful too.
So we've been talking about your music. I'm sure the listeners are curious. Going back again over the timeline of your career, if people wanted to find the music that you wrote for the musical for your first gig,
mm-hmm.
that was associated with the play,
mm-hmm.
what would people look for?
That project was called, and I think still is called, Squonk Opera. So you can mm-hmm. look that up. Although,
how do we spell squonk?
Squonk.
Okay.
The one I was in was a long time ago, so they'd have mm-hmm. to go back into the archives to something called Big Smorgasbord mm-hmm. Wunderwerk in 2000 and before.
Okay.
But everything else can pretty much be found right now at janacrenshaw.com. There's kind of snippets of everything, and then if you really wanted to Google things, you could Google my other name, which was Jana Losey.
Okay. And Losey is spelled?
L-O-S-E-Y.
Okay. And if people want to hear a little bit of you, I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to listen to one of your songs. We'll let you set up an introduction and talk about context and what it's about, but I think your voice is the most powerful aspect of your music.
Thank you.
Would you mind letting people hear you sing a line bar or two off of one of your favorite songs.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play Still Calm and Warm, but I will sing you a little bit of the title track from the new album, which is called Bend and Break.
Okay.
And it goes, we can bend and we can break. You can turn us into your little pink houses. But in the end, you're only hurting yourselves. I wished for fire, I wished for flood. Any natural disaster to stop this artificial one. But we can bend and we can break. We'll learn to burn, we'll learn to drink. Is that good?
That's good. So what is that about? What are you talking about?
That song is about watching the trees fall that they were cutting down to build the highway through the town where I'm from in rural Pennsylvania.
What town is that?
It's called Lawrenceville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And for my whole life, we've just been looking at this, you know, kind of hillside with a bunch of trees. And then maybe 15 years ago, they came through and kind of sawed into half of the mountain and hill and put a highway right there. So I was currently, strangely, I hadn't lived there since I was 16, but I had moved back so that I could tour. And I was living in the house that I grew up in, which is pretty strange. And I think I was the last person that lived there because they ended up tearing it down when that highway came through. But I was standing literally on the porch just watching them like clear cut the whole hill and then over... there's kind of a cornfield that goes, I don't know how far, but goes over to the river, and they were just bulldozing the whole side of the river, just all of the trees on both sides, and then all the way up the hill was just this kind of scar at that point.
So you were inspired by the extractive relationship to the environment that was going on right in front of you, huh?
Yeah, and the chorus to that song has a little bit of a local joke in it because... they used eminent domain to take my family's farm and two houses, my grandparents' house, and the man and his family who worked for that farm, my family's farm, for years. My grandfather built him a house kind of right next to them. And so they took all of that, plus I don't know how many acres, and they built this kind of a truss bridge with just nothing on either side, and it was like that for like 5 years. So we called it the Bridge to Nowhere. So that's in the song,
because there's nothing to protect somebody from just driving off the bridge.
No, it was nothing. It was just the it was like an arch.
It was an arch without an actual road on
it. No road on either side.
Wow.
For years.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous, and it was right. You know, the foot of that, you've seen it, right? Mm. That it's the one that goes, which way is that? South. I think it's the one that goes south that's off the highway ramp to that side.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of one end of that is right where my grandparents' house used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this, like, weird, like, monument to...
nothing.
Everything that was destroyed, basically. And then they just didn't build the highway forever because they were waiting, I guess, from state to state for some kind of agreement for it to go all the way through. But they just built this ridiculous part.
So you've been a musician since you were 8?
I suppose so, yes.
You started working professionally in your teenage years?
I kind of did, yeah. I played in this bar... when I was 16 with this guy Joe, who was kind of a Neil Young fan, and we played a bunch of covers, and no one had a clue how old I was. I was just kind of hanging out in the bar with a bunch of college kids singing songs and playing flute, and it was a blast. Like, I loved that.
So to our younger listeners who might be looking at a career as singer, songwriter, musician, is there anything that you would share with people? Because I imagine you once had a dream of where you wanted to go with your craft.
You know, I don't know that I did. Like, kind of wanted to be a performance artist, which I kind of did. And that's what I geared my studies to, was just multimedia stuff all the time. And I really never thought... I was always in the theater, so I kind of always thought that you had to do lots and lots of production to be exciting, and I would never have really thought to just play music on my own. And so it's still a little bit funny for me. Like, I sort of always have a weird production problem with just being a musician.
So are you, do you consider yourself somebody that still has a dream in terms of what you want to accomplish with your art?
I do. All I ever really wanted to be was, you know, self-sufficient and make enough money that I could make money with my art. So I think the current state of that is that I would really like to adequately introduce myself to Portland and see if I can get a little bit of... I mean, I have a bunch of theater work, so for my own work, it would be nice to get a little bit of exposure for that. And I think my goal is to play maybe 4 or 5 shows a year that I can have time to promote and that I can put together really nice ensembles for and have a little bit of a different show every time. And I think that, you know, I'd like to keep doing the theater stuff that I do. I really like that work too. So the more work I get, I'm also, you know, when I stopped doing music full time, Facebook had just started. So I've never really had an adequate online presence either. So I'm also putting a big effort into that for hoping for a little bit of streaming income and a little bit of passive income from music I've already put a lot of effort into. So yeah, that's kind of my goal.
You said an online presence. Again, what's your website for people who want to check out your music?
It's janacrenshaw.com, and it's JanaCrenshaw. I think the CD is pressed and ready to go, but it won't be really officially released until I pick a release party date, which I think is going to be in October. I'm going to be releasing this CD, which is kind of a greatest hits album, although if you're talking to a bunch of people who haven't really heard my music, it's a brand new CD experience. But I'm also going to put out kind of a single with a B-side that is a new song that I haven't yet released.
Okay.
So I'm just going to release them at the same time and try to throw a decent party and have a good time.
Well, all right. And the name of the new album is?
Is Bend and Break. I think we're going to play... Do you want to play the track now?
Yeah, let's listen to a song. Why don't you introduce the track?
Okay, the track is called Still Calm and Warm. It's one of my favorite songs. And if you are a theater head in Portland, this track was used to make the soundtrack for a show called Kodachrome, which was a play that was, geez, 1 or 2 seasons ago at Portland Center Stage. I was able to chop up the song and edit little parts to make the whole soundtrack, basically, for that show. And all the transition music and everything that you heard, including the curtain call, was all from the same song. I just, like, parsed it out and added and subtracted little things and pieced things together that don't really go together in the actual song. But it's one of my favorite songs to play, both acoustically and with tracks. And I wrote it kind of all in one swoop lyrically. I kind of just had an idea, and the song, it was one of those moments where I just wrote it and it stayed almost the same when I put it to music. So that's always a nice, you know, feels a little bit special when that happens. So
yeah,
so I will, you want to hear Still Calm and Warm now?
Yeah, let's listen.
At the center of town is a hole, like a catcher of dreams. Weaving through webs to the dreamer, it chews them all up instead. And I don't know which way I should turn, and I don't know what you've heard about me. Could be anything. At the center of my heart is a hole, like the eye of a storm. Spinning around, but the heart is should feel, and I think that you're feeling the same. This could be something. And I tend to resist love, even though I insist that love is the greatest thing. Love's everything. Effectively, we grew close too fast, and I was not surprised to find my heart in my hands. This could be something. I tend to resist love, even though I insist that love is the greatest thing. Love's everything.
Well, all right. Thanks for sharing that song. Some of your music.
You're welcome.
Yeah, what do you want to tell the people that you haven't already said about that song?
About that song? I don't know. I've played that song in lots of different contexts. Oh, I do have something to say about it, actually.
Yeah.
It's going to be a part of a film. Just the instrumental version, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you know what I would love for people to do is, if you like the music and you want to stay in touch, I really haven't put a lot of effort into my email list or anything in a while. So if you would visit my website and sign the email list, I can let you know when the CD release party is going to be and when the album is officially out. That would be really great. And if you do that, I will also post when this film is up. So that people can see it. It's part of a project called Healing Tree. If you want to know more about Healing Tree, you can visit healingtreenonprofit.org. It's a really great project that is offering a different kind of healing from abuse and trauma. And they're making a really beautiful film that features a lot of pretty great artists and writers and aerial artists and directors and other musicians and stuff. So,
dope.
So that song is going to be part of that film, and I think, I don't know when it's coming out, so just stay tuned and I'll post it when it's there.
Are you playing in any time live in Portland soon?
I don't know. I'd like to book something sooner than I have. Right now I'm talking to the Alberta Street Pub about a CD release, which may or may not be October 12th.
Shout out to Ezra over there at Alberta Street.
Hi, Ezra.
And then, you know, you've been in Portland for a while. You're from rural Pennsylvania. What are some of the other, you lived in New York, where are some of the other cities you've been at?
I lived in New York, and I lived in Ithaca, New York, and I lived in Pittsburgh, and I lived in San Diego, and I lived in Lawrenceville, mm-hmm. and then here. Oh, in Elmira. I've lived in Elmira, New York.
So you've been a lot of places on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. You've been to San Diego on the West Coast, and now you live in Portland. What are some of your favorite artists in Portland?
In Portland, who do I like? Geez, I feel like I'm going to draw a blank now. I mean, I hang out with you at shows a lot, so I like a lot of the local hip-hop. I really like Serge and Serge Sevier's work. We don't get to see Luck One so much anymore, but I always like to see him. I love Daniel. What's his? He's the Wave.
Yeah.
And what's his crew?
Wavy Joseph.
Wavy Joseph and Wavy. Those guys are kind of my new favorite.
Shout out to Wavy Joseph. What up, Wave?
Yeah, and I played with Stephanie Schneiderman a while back, and that was really fun. I really like her stuff, although I haven't stayed in touch with her. And I know Storm was just here, and I like her stuff, and we just missed her show because everything's been crazy.
Yeah.
And that was sad. But yeah, all of those guys.
Okay. Any artists that are female identified that you, outside of Stephanie Schneiderman, what about any, you said you like hip hop. You like any women hip hop artists in the town?
I love Amenta.
Amenta Abioto, big up.
She's
one
kind
of my
artists. Favorite artists, period.
Yeah, she's dope.
Tony Hill is our
Tony
good
Hill's
friend.
Dope. Old comrade of mine. Yep,
and
yep.
I love Tony's stuff, and I love Siren's Echo.
Siren's Echo, yeah.
And who else? I mean, Fern and Chris, I miss playing with those guys too.
Star Witness, big
Star
shout
Witness
out to them.
Is yep, a great yep. project locally.
Yep, yep, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to continue to
Ray
put
Frazier,
you on the spot.
We love Ray too.
Big up Ray. Yep. Yep. And yeah, make sure you support all those artists Jenna mentioned. Keep a lookout for
Arietta
Ward.
Arietta. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Me too.
Darlene's project is awesome.
Black Butterfly. So shout out to all our people. Continue doing what you do. Support Jana Crenshaw. JanaCrenshaw.com. I think thanks for coming down and talking to me on News from the Boo.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here.
Let's listen to another song. Why don't we listen to, you sang an excerpt from Bend and Break.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you say a little about Bend and Break and take us out with it?
Sure. Bend and Break is the song I spoke about before that's about the trees coming down and about that transition into highway land rather than, the hillside that we've all been staring at for a while. It's also the title track of the new album, and it's also going to sound quite a lot different from the track you heard before, because this album that I'm putting out is actually a combination of three different albums. The track that was Still Calm and Warm is a really fully produced album with a really full band. The first album was called Bittersweet, and it was a full production, but less tracks, less instrumentalists, and still had some acoustic tracks. And then I did an album called Bare Bones that was never officially released, although I've had the tracks up for free downloads and stuff for a while, and that one was just acoustic. So this next track is from Bare Bones, and it's going to be acoustic, and it features Melanie Peters on guitar and background vocals, and it's called Bend and Break, and here it is.
We can bend and we can break. You can turn us into your little pink houses. But in the end, you're only hurting yourself. I wished for fire, I wished for flood, any natural disaster to stop this artificial one. But we can bend and we can break. To burn, we'll learn to drink. We got a bridge to nowhere. We got a road that kills. We got polluted water, and we got naked hills. And that's progress, but it don't look good. to me. Oh, they lie and they lie and they lie and they lie. They'll tell you anything just to get in your door. They'll dig up your heart, tear at your lungs, build you a leg to stand on if it's any help. But you can bend and you can break. You'll learn to burn, you'll learn to drink. We got a bridge to nowhere. We got a road that kills. We got polluted water. And we got naked hills. And that's progress. But it don't look good to me.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Up next is Rising Up Sonali.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Development Committee will meet the first Wednesday of each month at 4:30 p.m.